What up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Pac-12. Today, we are discussing the Arizona Wildcats and the struggles that they have going on over there. And then we are going to talk a little bit about Oregon State because we haven't done too much on them just yet. And you never know, they might actually surprise you going into this season.
You are Locked On Pac-12, your daily podcast on the Pac-12 Conference. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for tuning in to the Locked On Pac-12 Podcast. Obviously, there's no better place to get all your Pac-12 conference news than the Locked On Pac-12 Podcast, hosted by me, Cindy Robinson. Follow the Locked On Pac-12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Now today, joining me as my co-host is Michael Luke from Locked On Wildcats. Michael, how you doing today?
Not too bad, Cindy. Better than the Arizona Wildcats are doing, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's okay because my Cougars, unfortunately, took a nice little beating to the Trojans. And it looked like a, you know, like it was going to be upset on the Cougars side for at the start of the game. And then once Keaton left the game, Jackson Dart stepped in and, you know, it was all she wrote. So I understand your pain right now. You know, at least your struggles haven't been against conference teams yet.
Right.
But I know you're not too optimistic about that either. So right. Let's dive in. This weekend, the Wildcats faced Northern Arizona, a team that you definitely expected the Wildcats to beat. It didn't happen like that, unfortunately. Northern Arizona won 21-19. It seems like it was a close game. Mm-hmm. But the Wildcats were unable to pull off that win. So first and foremost, thoughts about that game, just initial thoughts. Like,
Well, if we'll just be honest here, the Cats suck. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, this is one of the worst teams in college football. Right now you have a 15 game losing streak. Yikes. And you look at their schedule, Cindy, they're not going to win a game this year. You're looking at something where you're going to have a 24 game losing streak going into the offseason, which is pretty impressive in its futility. I mean, that's what we're talking about right here. That's how bad they are.
Something in me still has a little faith, but I think that might be the situation of me being a Washington State Cougar and dealing with nonstop losses and somehow still trying to have faith. So that's me trying to have a little faith in your Wildcats. But right now,
no, there's no pity needed, Cindy. No pity needed. This is a team that is just, you know, again, when you lose to NAU, and it was a manner in which they lost to NAU. They just looked absolutely lethargic. And not only that, it looked like NAU had better players, that's never a good thing with the Northern Arizona Lumberjacks come in and they're like, yeah, you know what? We got better players than you. Watch this. And that's what it was, Cindy. That's really what it was. And that's what it was, just crazy watching it.
When we talk that offense, what went wrong there? Because, you know, we've been boasting that the team isn't, that there's some talent there that they should be able to work with. We've talked about the quarterback situation. We've talked about Stanley Berryhill. What is missing?
Well, I think what we're also finding out too is the quarterbacks stink. And, you know, it stinks to say that, but that's just kind of the way that it is right now. They're just not very good. And it's a team too that I look at it and I think to myself, I don't know that they're going to get any better. I mean, you basically have to get to the off season, and when you get to the off season, maybe you can rectify it. But right now, that ain't happening.
Rough time for them. And then defensively, It's like they're not getting the stops because somehow Northern Arizona was still able to put up the 21 points on them.
Yeah, they were able to put up points on them. And you know what? It didn't look like Arizona had any capacity of stopping them. And, you know, Jed Fish talked about it afterwards, and he said, you know, we struggled big time. And, you know, offensively, he was happy with what they did defensively. But I disagree with Coach there because, honestly, they weren't able to get off the field against NAU when they needed to. And if you're a Power 5 team and you can't get off the field against NAU when you need to, that's a problem. And, yeah. I mean, 27 carries, a buck 24 on the ground. Cindy, it was just kind of a comedy of errors.
You know, I want to say this, like, because as an athlete, your mindset is always, okay, this was what it was for the weekend. You know, that competition was what it was. We didn't do our best. You look forward to the next weekend. Do you think for them, like, it's even hard to keep that, like, motivating, you know, aspiration to, like, you know, finish out the season with everything going on?
Well, yeah, the problem, though, too, is that they're going to have – they had, like, 15,000 fans at their game. And when you can pack 55,000 into a stadium and you got 15,000 there, that's another thing. That's just it. Nobody cares. And I'd rather have a fan base that's upset and mad than a fan base that doesn't care. That to me is a little bit of the issue going forward. And again, I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be corrected this year. That's for sure.
Okay, coming up next, we'll preview the next game a little bit and then talk Oregon State Beavers and what they're doing in their beginning of their season. Before we get into that, though, if you're into college football, Prize Picks is for you. It's a daily fantasy made easy, and I love it, so I know you will too. Prize Picks is a leader in college sports daily fantasy. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world. You can also do offers on star players of the Power Five, as well as mid-major players that you might have never even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you can think of, from yardage to touchdowns, even interception thrown. So all of your users that deposit and use their promo code will receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100. You really can't beat that. So you pick 2 to 5 players and an over and under on their projections, and then you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. So Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries. You can take the over on LeBron combined with the under on Mahomes in the same entry. Use the award-winning app or on both the App Store and Google Play. And then entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's literally that easy. So don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your App Store and download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. When it comes to Arizona, they're going to face Oregon this weekend, and that is going to be a tough matchup for them, because not only is Oregon leading the Pac-12 right now, but they're probably really leading they're not the top in the AP polls, but they are leading in college football. It's kind of clear right now.
Yeah, they're one of the top teams in the nation, and I mean, I was shocked that the point spread was only, I mean, you mentioned Prize Picks. I was shocked the point spread was only 28 points. I think they covered that in the first half. I mean, this is a monumental mismatch right here, and I don't know that Arizona is going to be able to stop. I don't know how Arizona is going to stop them, and more so than anything, I don't know how Arizona is going to score. And, you know, in football, that's going to be a little bit of an issue. If you can't score and you got a quarterbacks that are turning the ball over left and right up in Autzen, I mean, that's an intimidating place to play to begin with, Cindy. So I don't know exactly how they're going to stop that. I look at that and I think that's easy money.
If anything, there may be some moral victories in it for Wildcats if they can play better than what they've played so far. If they can get something positive out of this game, what would you think it would be?
Anything positive you could get out of this game would basically be if you can just keep the game close, and you know what, you don't go in there and you don't come back here and you've lost 70-3 or something to that effect. Basically, if you could maybe keep it within 3 touchdowns, I think that that's a victory. I just don't see it happening. I think, like I said, I think this is a huge mismatch. Outside of playing Alabama, you know, I think that the Oregon is about as bad a matchup as there is for Arizona. That's what we're talking about right here.
Yikes.
I wish I could give you better news.
I wish so too, because that's a lot. While we're talking about Oregon, we're going to move on to Oregon State. Now, Oregon State, we haven't talked about a lot so far. And, you know, they've actually played pretty well. I will say they lost their first game against Purdue, but they beat Hawaii 45-27. And they demolished Idaho this past weekend 42-0. I definitely have always looked at Oregon State as the possible sleepers of the Pac-12, but now I feel like it's even more apparent. They had a strong, non-conference play, and they're looking to kick things off against USC, who has been very rocky. You know what I mean? Even though they did get the win against Washington State, they had a situation with Jackson Dart having to come in. We don't know I don't think it's very clear how long Keaton will be out, but for now, it doesn't seem like SC is hurting too bad. But again, they were playing against Washington State. How do you think that Oregon State will do against USC?
I think they're going to get blasted. I think the biggest problem, I think, if you're USC is that I think the biggest problem is that, you know, if you're Oregon State, you just don't have talent. and USC for as crummy as they're coached or have been coached. I don't know what kind of coach Dante is. That's another team that I look at and I think to myself, that's going to be a little bit of an issue. I don't give Oregon State much of a chance at all in that. I know that they got fat. I know they got fat on beating Idaho, but I don't see that one really getting any better there, Cindy.
Right, because that's more of a confidence thing, and like that's great and all, but Idaho's still not a competitive team compared to like a USC or Washington.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, I mean, okay. It's a good game to feel good about, but at the same time, you're not going to get much more out of that there, Cindy, other than you're about to get smoked. I hate to keep giving you these absolutes, but that's kind of where we're at.
Well, here's my thing though. We'll play devil's advocate. So if somehow Oregon State's able to pull off a win, what would that mean for SC?
If Oregon State were to win or if SC? I mean, you know, but they're also kind of at rock bottom now too, where you're going with a coaching staff now that is basically they're fighting for their jobs. I don't know that things can get any worse for USC than they are right now. And so yes, you don't want that to happen, but at the same time, I'm not sure that it really changes the trajectory of things, though, either. I think this is a football team that's going to have a new coach no matter what at the end of the year. And, you know, I mean, unless they win out, which I don't see happening, I think that you're looking at a team that's going to that's going to beat Oregon State. And if Oregon State does beat them, then they got even bigger issues that I think we can even think about there, Cindy.
Right. And that's going to say a lot about the Pac-12 North and actually dealing with. Okay, coming up next, we will continue to discuss SC and a little bit of what they have going on over there. But before we finish talking about them, do you know about Sweatblock? If not, you'll want to. Is as someone who sweats a lot and, you know, worries about your clothes staining and all of that, the Sweat Block wipes are perfect for this. You literally just use them at night, go to sleep, wake up in the morning, go about your business, and you do not have to worry about sweating. I definitely still think you should use deodorant. That's a must. Doctor recommended. It works for up to 7 days per use. It's a dry shirt guarantee. So if Sweat Block doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. Featured and tested on the Rachel Ray Show by firefighters. I think that proves right there how well they work. Exactly. It proves right there how well they work. They've been the best seller on Amazon for the past 10 years, and there's over 13,000 reviews. So if you don't trust me, you can go check it out for yourself and see what other people are saying about Sweatblock. And then the best part, it's manufactured in the USA, so you don't have to worry about, you know, any outsourcing, whatever the case may be. And then it's really perfect for you, like your toiletry bag. You really want to use this product. It's helpful, helps with your confidence, keeps the stains out of your clothes. So definitely check out Sweatblock if you or someone you love is dealing with this. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS. And then for those of you that may be looking for a new protein bar, Built Bar is the one for you. It has 9 different flavors, so it's a little bit of something for everybody, from coconut flavors to fruity flavors like cherry and raspberry, and then they always have the chocolate options. And if you're someone that's adventurous and want to try them all, you can get the mix box where you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting, but they're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. So 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Okay, Michael. So we've been talking a little bit about SC going up against Oregon, how you still feel like, you know, SC, despite the things that they're dealing with, going up against Oregon State, sorry. Despite the things that they are dealing with, you still anticipate them to win this game. But what
do you feel like? Get ready.
Oh, it's okay.
Sorry about that.
You're good. What do you feel like their season may look like? Because right now it's kind of up in the air.
You know, they're so, when it comes to SC, they're just so talented that you look at them and I don't know. Have you ever like gone like and sat like or stood on the sideline of like a USC game? It's crazy to just see how much better their players are than everybody else out there. Just so much more naturally gifted. And it's very much of a hometown type feel to it too, because so many of these kids are LA kids. But I look at it, I think that outside of Oregon, they should win almost every Pac-12 game just based off their talent.
Now you mentioned Jackson Dart might be your quarterback, and you know, that's, we'll find out what he can do right there. But this is still, I never feel bad for SC, because even if a guy like Dart is out, he's still a five-star type guy. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you still have cannons, you still have guys that have great arms, and you got guys that you can get the ball to, and, you know, a Drake London, and, you know, players of that effect. So I don't know exactly why they shouldn't be that type of team, though. They should always be a 10 to 11 win team to me every single year without question. And I think this is kind of the similar situation there, Cindy. This is, I shouldn't expect anything less just because their coaching isn't great, I guess. I know that feels like I'm kind of speaking out of both sides of my mouth right there.
No, it's okay. I, you know, want to kind of pivot a little bit, because one thing we've been somewhat talking about is like how some of these teams in the Pac-12 have not lived up to the expectations that we've had of them coming into this season. And one of those teams being Washington. Now, this past weekend, they did what they needed to do against Arkansas State, but that's not saying much, you know? So right. What do you think is going on there in the sense of like, what are they missing?
That's a great question, Cindy. And I can't really give you the answer to that one, other than the fact that maybe they're just not that good. Because when you lose to Montana and you're Washington, that's an issue. I mean, that's a major issue right there. And I watched a good percentage of that game. And they don't, Washington in the past, they've always had big physical offensive linemen, you know, things of that nature. They don't have really an identity. And I can't remember the last time with Washington that they didn't have an identity. Like I said, with the linemen, the Miles Gaskins in the backfield, the, you know, the Reggie Williams at wide receiver, they don't have any of that. And they don't scare anybody. And Washington's one of those places where you should be in the top three to the four conference every single year, just because you can get a certain caliber of player. And I watch Washington right now, and that looks like a team that's not only struggling, but it looks like a program that is trending in the wrong direction. And I think they're going to struggle all year. I really do.
Okay. Well, this weekend they'll be facing Cal, a team that's still trying to, in my opinion, figure out their identity as well this season. So I think we can table this and circle back next week just to see, you know, if we see anything else from Washington, if we see any improvements,
right?
If we see improvements from Cal's side as well. Very interesting to see how, now that we're getting into conference play, how the Pac-12 literally ends up, because at this point I only see Oregon at the top and I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah, doesn't it kind of feel like it's Oregon and the 11, you know, little programs right there, for lack of a better term?
Exactly.
It really does. This doesn't feel like anything that is going to be outside of Oregon. This doesn't feel like there's going to be that next team. UCLA dropped an egg. ASU dropped an egg. So right now, I think the conference's hopes are basically all residing up in Eugene.
Yeah. And that's crazy, because obviously they're defending champs, but kind of by default, in the sense of they weren't even supposed to be there and they ended up there. Granted, I will say the caliber of talent there proves that they deserve to be there, but you know, the way things fell out last year, you really thought UW would come with a little more fight.
Just a little more fight, a little more gusto, you know, just like a little more, and that just never happened.
Yeah. Hate to see it. But again, as a Cougar fan,
I was going to say, Cindy, you've got to feel terrible about that.
You know, I just feel the worst. Oh my gosh.
Can't even imagine.
Okay, for those of you into betting, make sure you check out the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. So follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast. And then you can follow along on Locked On Pac-12 podcast and the Locked On Wildcats podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. And then follow along on Twitter at @LO_Pac-12. At LO Wildcats, right? Is that how it is?
Yep. Locked On Wildcats.
There you go. Locked On Wildcats. And then _ Cindy Robinson and @ Iron Mike Luke. Other than that, make sure you continue to stay locked on the Pac-12 on the Locked On Network.